how to make it out to Vegas. Where the big boys roam, with the rovers and the racers and the bulls and the browns, and the ladies in the skin tight wranglers and the cowboy hats. And it don't get no better than that.
The National Finals Rodeo is the culmination for the top contestants in the world who travel to 70 to 100 rodeos each year to qualify to compete in Las Vegas for their share of the $10 million purse and the coveted gold buckle. Every December, Las Vegas transforms into the greatest Western party in the world with the NFR Experience, which features Cowboy Christmas, the Junior World Finals, nonstop entertainment, custom viewing parties, and so much more. With NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Thanks for tuning in, and welcome back to our second episode of NFR Extra. I am Nevada Caldwell.
And this is Bo Gardner. And Envy, we had a lot of fun that first episode.
That we did, no doubt.
Hi, I'm world champion Ryder Wright, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Speed Williams, 8-time world champion team roper, and this is NFR Extra.
We've got a really exciting show for you today. Rodeo Austin is currently in full swing, and who better to give us the Austin lowdown than pro rodeo announcer Wayne Brooks.
Wayne Brooks. The centerpiece of the NFR Extra podcast are interviews with a wide array of legends, rodeo contestants, and personalities, all hosted by Maria Precage, live at Cowboy Christmas during the 2018 Wrangler NFR.
Bo, we got a good one here. Maria sits down with four of the premier bulldoggers in pro rodeo today. Four-time NFR qualifier, Kyle Irwin. Five-time NFR qualifier, Ty Erickson. He's a good one.
Yes.
The 2017 world champion, Tyler Pearson. And two-time world champion, and just recently just added that second one here at the 2018 NFR.
Congratulations,
yeah,
Tyler.
Tyler Wake's back. These fellas share a special bond. And as we all know, it starts with the 2018 AQHA Steer Wrestling Horse of the Year,
Scooter. Lastly, NV and I sit down with Mr. Dale Brisby as he shares his love of the Wrangler NFR and the power of social media in the rodeo industry. Pow, pow!
Pow, pow. Thanks for all your great comments about the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and keep listening.
Good afternoon. My name is Cotton Ross from Marysville, California. Welcome to NFR Extra.
Hi, this is Derek Stevens. I'm the owner and chief executive officer of the D Las Vegas, and this is NFR Extra.
This is Bo's Bull, the rodeo news of the week.
We got a great one today for Bo's Bull. Five-time PRCA Announcer of the Year, Mr. Wayne Brooks.
Master Wayne.
Oh, yeah. Has been an announcer for more than 20 years, having been the voice of the Wrangler NFR 8 times. And 2 times at San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo. Oh, and the Canadian Final Rodeos, plenty of fans there. 10 years. He's been doing that for 10 years.
10 years.
And many others. That's a good stuff, Wayne.
Today, Wayne Brooks joins us from Rodeo Austin. Welcome to the NFR podcast, Wayne.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Well, you're in the middle of Rodeo Austin right now, so tell us a little bit about Rodeo Austin and how long you've been there.
Gosh, this is about 17 or 18 years. I've been here for quite a little while. It's awesome. The only one I think I've had in my entire career that's 65 miles away from my house. So that's really, really nice. I've never had it that way before. So
yeah, makes it easier.
It's nice and close. Yeah, but great rodeo, great fan base. We have a total population around the neighborhood of about 1 million people around Austin, and they support it well. We end up with about 2.2 million going back into the community here at Austin,
strong
for educating Texas youth in the form of scholarships, monies to buy animals, lots of other projects that they just put the money right back into the community. So that's a nice thing.
Oh, that's fantastic. So there's been a couple of things going on with your competition there, and kind of looking at, there's been some records set or some people kind of used almost like Rodeo Austin as like a springboard heading into spring, and then obviously Cowboy Christmas is to follow right after that with the multitude of rodeos. Why has Rodeo Austin been one of the top 10 highest paying competitions in pro rodeo over the last few years? And can you explain the Ride for the Brand Cowboy Tournament and how does it impact the world standings?
I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
You bet. Absolutely. You know, it has always been there, but it's been just the last 10 years probably that they realized they needed to make some changes and increase that money, make some changes with some stock and cattle and format, and all of those things rolled together. Took them from, you know, 110th on the list of high-paying rodeos to the number five indoor rodeo in the country here just a few years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's going to pay out.
There's a few of those in the top five in Texas, right?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I kind of tell a quick little story, you know, every other night that we start in Denver, go to Rapid City, and then camp in Texas for about a month and a half before we head for California in the springtime. So it's a good place to kind of collect a nice chunk of money. Yep.
There you go.
The Houston and the American thing counting this year, my gosh, Casey Fields won $95,000 between three rodeos. So, I mean, that's a nice breath of fresh air for all of our contestants.
He could take a little break.
Yeah, I mean, definitely wear and tear.
Absolutely.
Right?
And he probably won't, but he could if he wanted to.
Competitors don't take breaks.
Yeah, it seems like it'll give...
You know, I think it's especially in the physically demanding field that rodeo is, you kind of got to stay on the game.
And
those guys know that, and staying in good shape helps us just tremendously. And, yeah, keep on rolling. When you're hot, you're hot.
It seems like the competitor, you know, the guy or the gal that is able to utilize this money this early... If they have that competitive spirit, they're really able to step on the gas and, and say, no, I'm riding this thing through, and by the time I get to December, I should have a nice sizable lead with the thinking of what's going
on. I think it makes it easier for them to go out and have some fun.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They enjoy what they're doing. They're going to have some fun.
There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It makes the game a lot easier when you don't have to, you know, chew on your fingernails wondering how you're going to pay the bills next week if you don't make some money at XYZ Rodeo.
Yeah, yeah.
So, since we're talking about world standings, we're talking about contestants, how does everything look going into this weekend? I know you got a big playoff. What? How's everything going to play out? What are we looking at across the board, event-wise?
You know, the Ride for the Brand format, what it does is it brings 96 contestants in each event. For the first 12 performances, it's just one long round. So, basically, all of those contestants get one chance to qualify. And then we bring back the top 16 for a semifinals, and then the top 8 from there into the finals. It's sudden death from the long round to the semifinals to the finals. So all of the scores and times are erased. And so it kind of comes down to who's on fire that day. If you make it to the finals, you only have to beat 15 other people or teams or whatever the case may be in your event. And then when you get to Saturday Night Live, our final round, you only have to beat 7 other competitors. And again, it's all erased. So if you draw the right bucking horse or bull or calf and you're fast or high scored, you beat everybody, and it should pay right around the $20,000 mark here to win this one.
How long have they had that format at Rodeo Austin, Wayne?
You know, they've adjusted it over the last 10 years, but they've been working on it for about 10 and kind of perfected it in about the last 7 or 8. So they knew they needed to do something to basically let the cream rise to the top and let the separate the wheat from the chaff. So that's exactly what they've done.
Now, what do the contestants think about that? I mean, it's kind of a luck of the draw with the livestock. I mean, how do the contestants feel about that? There's so many unknowns that could happen when it's either make or break, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, from a contestant standpoint, and I'll tell you this, Rodeo Austin is a progressive, forward-thinking rodeo. And so they quizzed a lot of the contestants on how to do this. Do you need, you know, 2 or 3 head, you want to spread that money more out in the long rounds or the short rounds. And so working closely with the contestants to try to deliver what they want, I think has been one of the keys to success. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But is it as close as we can get to what the cowboys want? Hopefully they're on the right track with that, yes.
Could you see that format ever anywhere else, maybe the NFR?
That'd be nice.
You know, could you? Absolutely. Anywhere you go. Houston and San Antonio's bracket-style formats, very similar, just more contestants and more head. You know, you'll ride a rope for 3 head there in San Antonio before you advance on to the finals in that one. So, those formats have been very very well received, and I think they're awesome because it gives our customer the very best product that we can deliver in rodeo.
Yep. Perfect.
Good story.
Man, that was awesome. Format changes. Those are always the topics of discussion for rodeo.
Let's stir it a little bit.
So we're going to come back to Rodeo Austin. Rodeo Austin resides in a unique community and has the tagline, where weird meets Western. What makes Rodeo Austin so weird? You touched on Progressive, which is awesome, and we know that there's a lot of tech going on there. You got Southwest by Southwest. So I'm assuming there's a lot of tech cowboys in the community. What makes it different? Is it the music? Is it the rodeo? Is it the community?
It's the Sixth Street.
I've been there.
Yeah, you know, you just kind of hit the whole nail on the head with all of it. It's a combination of all of those things, and it's a very eclectic and young community. University of Texas is right downtown Austin. Of course, it is the capital, and when we talk about people flocking to a great economic environment for jobs and school and, as you said, tech, the music industry has always been super strong here. And so that brings up kind of a funny story when it comes to our entertainers. Over 15 performances in 15 nights, we'll have a rapper one night and then an alternative group the next night and then the Struts from Britain the next night. The Jacksons are coming. We had Ronnie Millsap last night. We'll have Martina McBride. You know, it's just all across the board. So we see a new demographic in our grandstands each night.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because we ask nearly every night, how many people are here watching the first rodeo? Gosh, it'll be 40% of our crowd every night.
Great.
And that's awesome.
What are the ticket prices there, Wayne?
They're going to start about 25, and then you can get, you know, the better seats for 35 to 40. And so it's fairly affordable for a family, and you get the concert and the rodeo. And then they have, you know, one of the largest carnivals outside and all kinds of things going on. They'll have over 100 live bands, of course, being in Austin, across the outdoor stages over the 15 days as well. So you get to see a lot of young, you know, and Aaron Watson started in the parking lot at Rodeo Austin out on the stage outside.
He's made it all the way to the NFR.
Yeah, get to see him alive.
Absolutely. And now we just had him three or four nights ago in the building and sold out, absolutely sold out. So it's kind of nice to give those young talents an opportunity to do that as well.
Very nice. Man. Wayne, we know you get to announce plenty of rodeos all year long. Some of the big ones, which you mentioned, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston, and some small ones. So what is another unique rodeo you work at that is a little different, and why? And we know this year Reno Rodeo is going to be one of your big ones, celebrating 100 years. So that's got to be on your list for this year even. But let us know.
You know, gosh, I we get that question all the time, and they are so individualized that you certainly couldn't pick a favorite by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, Santa Maria, California is there in the kind of the wine country and the food and the vegetables that are available there and all the great people that surround that area. That's a very individualized rodeo in itself. Sisters, Oregon's in June. Mm-hmm. It might snow there. It might be 75 degrees. You never know. They're like Green Bay Packer fans. They just show up.
We have a few of those.
Our president, Mr. Tallman.
Salinas in the summertime. It's right on the coast. It'll be 105 in Sacramento and Fresno, and then you chop over that hill headed for the coast, and it's, you know, 72 for the high in Salinas every day in July. So that is always a welcome change in the middle of the summertime when you've been fighting the heat all year long. And so lots of great places. That's probably one of the number one things that make our job so interesting is different great places and great people.
Is it safe to say that rodeo announcers probably have the better jobs in all of rodeo?
Safest.
You know, that's true, yes.
You know, I'll tag Bob Tallman on this one because he always says it. All we do is get to travel around and brag on our friends. That's one of the bottom line. Brag on bucking horses and bulls and cowboys and cowgirls. What a great job to have. You get tired of traveling a little bit.
Sure.
But for the most part, great job, you bet.
Do you haul a rig or do you stay in a hotel?
fly all winter, drive all summer. We have a motor home, and my family goes with me from you know, the end of May till the end of August.
Fun.
And then come back home, park it, and then just mostly fly all winter long.
There you go.
How about just before we get off here, just a couple, some small predictions. Do you see anyone that's possibly going to, and I know you don't can't answer this correctly right now because it's not done, but anyone that's going to hopefully win Rodeo Austin may make it all the way to December and have a few gold buckles and just have a good time and add that world title.
So who has the best opportunity?
Yeah, who's looking like that right now over there in Austin?
You know, the reigning world champion tie down roper, Caleb Schmidt, proves that he is definitely in the running for there's a new sheriff in town with Trevor Brazil taking a little bit of time off. Caleb Schmidt was in the team roping last night here in Austin and tied for the number one time in the team roping. Well, his specialty events the tie down, so his all-around money is going to start skyrocketing if he keeps competing in both events like that. And he's number one here in Austin right now in the team roping. Michael Otero won Houston. And this is the old when you're hot situation. And then turned in a 7.7 here in Austin to be number one just a night or two ago as well. So Oren Larson, same deal. One at the American, one at San Antonio. Between the two rodeos, he's already got $80,000 on the books that's allowed to be used for world standings.
Wow.
And then one of the new guys just won as of yesterday, Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo in Kissimmee, Florida. Montana Circuit Champion Haven Medjid.
Ooh,
comes from Miles City. Young talent, new guy on the books, if you will, and golly, very, very talented. Watch out for him because he could skyrocket to Las Vegas his very first full
year. He's fun to watch. He's got a lot of energy. Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
You bet. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Well, this is great information. This is great talk here, Wayne. Thank you very much.
We will have you back. Are you up for that?
Absolutely. Anytime, anywhere.
How many years have you been doing the NFR, Wayne?
Oh, I think this past December makes eight times. Eight times in Las Vegas.
Wow. I'm
looking forward to hopefully coming back for many more.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, we love having you, sir.
Yeah. Well, Wayne.
Thank you very much, and you guys keep in touch with me.
You bet.
You too, and thanks for
joining us. Safe travels. Talk to you soon.
Stay up to date on the world standings for Road to the NFR at NFRExperience.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Benji Bendeley, Wrangler National Finals Rodeo Music Director, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Caleb Bennett, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Rusty Wright, and this is NFR Extra.
You're listening to NFR Extra Podcast, all dirt, all rodeo, all year. And here is Miss Maria Precage speaking with Mr. Tyler Wagasback, who was once again the king of the PRCA steer wrestlers. This cowboy won a second world championship in the last 3 years with his most memorable run on December 15th at last year's Wrangler NFR. She's also sitting down with Mr. Ty Erickson. Ty was the PRCA Resist All Steer Wrestling Rookie of the Year in 2011 and is also a five-time Wrangler NFR qualifier.
Hi, I'm Maria Precocis, and welcome to NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. I have a couple of ties with me today. No, not the kind you wear around your neck, but we have Ty Erickson and Tyler Wagasback with me. Ty, is Ty short for Tyler?
Yes, yeah, okay. So we actually have three Tylers in the rig.
I tell you. You guys, yeah, you guys travel with Tyler Pearson and Kyle Irwin.
Yes.
So how do you keep it all straight with all the Ties and Tylers?
Well, we kind of all have our own nicknames, you know. This Tyler is Tyler. We just call him Wag. I'm Ty.
Or Tiny.
Then, or Tiny. Tiny. And then Pearson, we usually just call either Pearson or Tyler. So.
Or T.
Or T, yeah. So we all kind of have our own little nicknames to where we know who we're talking to at all times.
And I don't think we've ever said Kyle the entire time. Yeah. We only call him Irwin.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
No matter what. He just gets the last name.
Yep.
Well, so, I'm a little confused, but I kind of get it. As long as you guys know who's in the truck traveling with you, that's good.
Well, normally you got to listen for, hey, you move, and then they just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
What's it like traveling, four of you down the road? I mean, it's grueling hours. It's a lot of time away from home. But you guys seem to have fun.
We do. We have a blast. I mean, that's the best part about the whole deal. You know, it's not the rodeo that we compete in. It's the miles in between. You know, I mean, we got tons of memories out there. We only compete for a couple seconds at each rodeo. But, I mean, all the time in between, I mean, we've got a great group of guys. We ride great horses. And, I mean, we just have a blast doing it, you know.
Well, so, Ty, or Erickson. I'm just going to call you all by your last name so people know who I'm talking to. What about some pranks on the road? I mean, PG-13 rated here.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we joke around a lot. And you know what's fun about this group is, you know, we kind of have a lot of bets, you know. So we'll go to a rodeo and we'll kind of make a bet. Whoever loses or whoever the slow man is has to do something, you know. So, I mean, we have a lot of that stuff going on in the race. So it makes a lot of fun, you know. And we have a good time.
Is it like buying dinner or, you know, 80 push-ups? What Go is ahead. It you make people do?
What was your favorite one?
Okay, so my favorite one, 2 years ago, me and Wegg had a bet, you know, and he ended up losing it to me, you know. So then he had to wear a Fallon Taylor hat at, what was it, Texarkana, Arkansas.
Pink helmet.
A pink helmet. Yeah, a pink helmet. So.
But then they all got mad because I drew the best steer on him and won the rodeo.
He did win the rodeo, so it worked out.
Even with the hat.
Even with the pink helmet.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of fun.
You guys do have a lot of fun. Ty, you're 6'6". I love, of course, that's why they call you Tiny.
Yep.
You were the center for your high school basketball team.
Yeah, you know, so I played a lot of basketball in high school, you know, and rodeoed. And that's about all I did, you know, but after high school, then I just started focusing on the steer wrestling and the rodeo part of it, you know, so that's kind of in my past, but I still love to play, you know, some two-on-two, so.
How does a team sport like basketball transition into rodeo?
Right, no, for sure. That's a great question. I think with basketball in high school, I learned a lot about, you know, like how to compete, basically, you know. And I think that really translates over into the steer wrestling, you know, going throughout the year trying to figure out how to win. It's not necessarily always winning first, you know, but it's always just those little wins here and there. So I think that really helped me.
And when did you start rodeoing?
I started actually steer wrestling when I was a junior in high school. So just 2 years in high school. And I mean, as soon as I started, that's basically all I ever wanted to do because I loved it so much.
And you're a junior in high school. How'd you get into it? Was it a rodeo family or?
Yeah. So I grew up in a rodeo family. My dad's a vet. My mom, she trained barrel horses. And throughout high school and even junior rodeos, I just roped. I team roped and calf roped, and I really liked that. And I wanted to make the finals in the calf roping, actually. But I kept growing and growing when I was in high school, you know. So they finally convinced me to try steer wrestling, you know. And as soon as I did, I loved it. So that's here we are today.
You just kept growing, but you said it with a big smile. So you made the right decision.
Yes, I think so.
And Wegg is back. See, I love just the last name so much easier. How'd you get into rodeo? Because I know you had success in high school with rodeoing.
Yes, my dad actually rodeoed. No, nothing big, just always the circuit rodeos and stuff like that. So I grew up, I was always the little kid running around the practice pen, always in the way and stuff like that, and just kind of fell into it after that. I mean, heck, my mom, she would always just say bye to me on the weekends. I'd hop in the truck with Dad, and we'd come back a couple days later after going all the rodeos with him and everything, and just kind of grew into it like that. And whenever I was younger in junior high and stuff, we started getting horses and roping calves and starting to steer wrestle a little bit and just went on with it.
How cool was that to grow up, you know, next to your dad in a pickup truck going to rodeos and living the cowboy way of life?
It was absolutely awesome. Like I say, I went all over the place, never far from home, you know, but still all over the place, going into different arenas and stuff like that. I mean, back in the day, whenever I was little, you know, Dad didn't want to pay that $5 for me to get in, so I'd have to lay down underneath the back seat so we could drive on in, you know, skip that little $5 charge at the rodeos. And then whenever I was younger, I'd normally have to hop on the horse and haze for him at the rodeos, too. So I sneak in and haze for him at the rodeos. So
oh, my gosh, I love it. What great memories.
Mm-hmm.
Ty, what's one of your favorite memories here at the NFR? You've been here 5 times.
Yes. I think it was actually my favorite memory is the very first year I was here, you know, I split around in the 8th round, my very first year with Mr. Kyle Irwin, guy that I travel with now, you know, so that's pretty fun, you know. But I feel like we've all had, you know, our great memories in this arena and our bad memories in this arena, you know, so I feel like we have a good mixture, so.
And Wagspec, it's Vegas. It's big. What's it like to be here for these 10 days?
It's incredible. It'll dang sure wear you out, you know, I mean, you can hear me talking right now, just it's a little different atmosphere than it is at the house and everything and stuff, but I mean, it's incredible. We have a ton of fun out here, always stuff to do, you know, they got fans all over the place always wanting to see you and stuff, and it just makes you feel good, you know, people look up to you or just want to see you compete or perform, you know, it's a great time.
Well, and you're here with Your family. Mm-hmm. How fun is that? And may I say, almost newlywed. This is December, so yeah.
Well, we've actually already been newlywed. We got married in November.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you're still newlywed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it like 6 months? What is it to be technically a newlywed? It
feels like 10 years to me already, huh?
Oh, don't say that.
I'm just kidding.
No. But how great is it to have her here in your family?
Oh, it's outstanding, like I say. I mean, to have Sarah here with me, supporting me all the time, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, and then I got my mom and dad, they're here as well. You know, I mean, they're not going to miss one of these days at the NFR for anything, you know. So it's incredible to have that much support in your corner.
And Ty, you're newlywed too.
Yes, October 20th. Yeah, so we're both kind of newlyweds, just kind of testing the waters out of marriage life.
How has it changed everything from being on the road now? I mean, I'm assuming you're missing your wives, boys, when you're on the road without them.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like anything's really changed, though. You know, I mean, I dated Sierra, my wife now, for 5 years, you know, so even when we were on the road, I was missing her then, you know, even as I am now, so.
Yeah. I love it. So I asked him one of his favorite memories. What about you here in Vegas? What stands out?
My favorite memory in Vegas actually didn't happen in the arena. 2016, after I won the world, first person I come up to is my dad. And, you know, I mean, he and I have worked for that. I mean, I can still remember him driving home in the afternoons, and I'd have the horses saddled, arena drug, steers ready, and we'd practice every day after school. Didn't matter, rain or shine, didn't matter. We was going to practice. So to be able to hand that gold buckle to him and, you know, just share that moment, I mean, that was irreplaceable.
Well, it takes a lot of hard work. I mean, you're rodeoing all the time, but you still have to practice.
Absolutely. There's always going to be somebody out there trying to work harder than you, so you better do your part and work harder than them.
And Tyler, let's talk about that gold buckle. What's it like to have world champion next to your name?
I mean, incredible. I mean, it was a great year. We had tons of success. And I mean, just to be able to look back on it and say that, hey, I did it. You know, I mean, that's an incredible feat to be able to accomplish.
I mean, Ty, that's what everyone dreams of in this rodeo industry, is to get a world championship. Yep. Did it just happen overnight, or when you were in junior high starting out, you know, really getting into the competition, did you just say, I want to be a world champion, or I want to go to the NFR?
Yeah, no. So I've always dreamed of it since I was a little kid, you know, watching the NFR in December, you know, from my couch. And I always just dream like what it would be like. And it's pretty special now that Wag and I are here, and now we're those guys, you know, so it makes it a lot of fun. I think a guy tries to enjoy it while you're here, you know, while also trying to win as much as he can.
Well, so. And it's rough. It's 10 days. I know you guys are on the road all summer, all year rodeoing, but 10 days with everything going on, how tough is it to keep your spirits up and keep roping or steer wrestling well?
I mean, you got to stay motivated the whole time you're here. You know, I mean, some guys that'll have maybe a little tough luck in the first couple rounds or so, they kind of want to get down. But, I mean, you can't do that. There's so much opportunity to do good in this building. I mean, we still got 6 rounds left, you know. I mean, you go out there, place decent in all 6 rounds. I mean, that's incredible. Yes. As much as you can win out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, out here you got to always keep your head up, got to always strive to do better on each round or do the best that you can on whatever steer that you draw out here.
Well, and the horse is important, and you two ride Kyle's and Tyler Pearson's horse, Scooter. How
Correct.
Special is that horse?
Very special. I mean, he's 2-time horse of the year now, you know. So, I mean, I don't think there's very many horses out there that can pack 4 guys, you know, make 40 runs in this building in 10 nights in a row. You know, so I think it's pretty special that horse be able to do that. And not only do that, but be able to win as much money as he does. Like last year, we won over $500,000 on just that horse, you know. So I think that kind of speaks for itself, how good that horse really is.
Well, and the horse is nothing to take away from you guys, but the horse is pretty darn important in this event.
Oh, it's everything.
It's absolutely incredible. I mean, Scooter, I mean, Ty and I know we're such blessed to have great friends like Kyle and Pearson to allow us to be able to ride such a great horse like that. And like Ty said a minute ago, to have that much heart to be able to perform that well 4 times in a row every night at the NFR is incredible. But that's not what impresses me. What impresses me is throughout the entire year,
right,
he's being hauled from different places. And by all means, we take care of him better than we would our own children, because the better he feels, the better he performs. But I mean, to be able to go that many miles that long throughout the year and still give you 110% every time, I mean, Scooter's in a league of his own.
Yep.
All right, well, I asked your 2 traveling partners on another episode, what do you guys like to do for fun in your time off?
Shoot, we do all kinds of stuff. I'm not a very big cook, but I love it when the guys say we're going to get groceries because I know we're fixing to eat good. You know, we'll sit behind the trailer with a barbecue pit, and I don't think any of us are real big chefs, but we can get a pork chop warmed up pretty good. We'll play golf, play cards, you know. We watch a lot of Netflix going down the road. You know, everybody kind of gets their alone time, just sit around, don't want to talk to nobody. But then the next morning everybody's talking, hey man, you see anything new on Netflix? What's a new episode we can watch? This, that, and the other, because we're running out. We've got so much time on our hands.
That's so funny. And Ty, who's the best golfer out of the four of you?
Don't lie.
Oh. I mean, I want to say me, but it's not. I'm terrible. It's Wade. Wade's probably
Thank
the best
you.
Golfer.
Thank you.
Oh, look at
I think,
him. Thank
I think.
Thank.
I don't think Pearson's very good at golf, and I don't know if I've really seen Kyle play golf much.
Kyle just drives around the golf course mostly.
Yeah. So
it's like bumper cars with him.
All the gear, you have to haul the horses, everything. I mean, you're taller than all of them. Do you
yep.
guys all have your own golf clubs that you travel to in the rig?
No, we usually just rent when we
okay.
get there, you know. And
but that the golf club's in the fun part yeah. with the height. You should see whenever we got to swap stirrups on the scooter, it looks like a pit crew going over there. There's four people with hands on him just moving stuff around, yeah. and the next man's going, because at the rodeos, we normally only have one person in between us. So yep. we got a sure enough hustle, and you can see everybody in a group jog over, and it looks like we're changing tires on scooters, trying to get yep. him fixed up, and he's ready to go again.
I love it. Scooter's pit crew.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, he's a special animal, and you four are so fun and so great. Best of luck to you all, and thanks for joining me
yes.
today.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I appreciate it. World champion Tyler Wagasback, say that five times fast,
yeah.
and Ty Erickson right here on NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. Thanks again.
Make sure to download NFR Rewind and get caught up on what you missed at the 2018 Wrangler NFR. Download now at NFRExperience.com.
Hi, I am Benny Butler, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Sherry Servey, and you are listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Cody Wright, two-time world champion saddle bronc rider, and this is NFR Extra.
Dale Brisby really needs no introduction. As he says, he's always on rodeo time and lives, as he puts it, a pow-pow life of riding bulls and punching fools. Fans feel such a deep connection with him that they seek him out on the street, at rodeo events, and in Vegas during Cowboy Christmas. Man, oh man. He's
Don't let his appearance fool you.
I agree. No doubt about it.
Envy, did you know that the legend Brisby, he's a country and western social media superstar, has more than 300,000 Instagram followers who are among a deep legion of adorers all across many different platforms.
That's a lot of followers. I don't even know. There's a lot of rodeos that are even
300,000. Yeah. I know. His town's probably not 300,000.
Yeah, that's true. Winnebago? Welcome to the show, Dale Brisby. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm finer than frog hair, old son. Out here in Winnebago, where it's rodeo time all the time.
Nice, very nice.
That is our slogan, right?
Oh, yeah.
All rodeo, all dirt. What is it?
All rodeo, all dirt, all rodeo, all year. Dirt.
That's it. Did you know that, Dale? I didn't.
I do now.
So,
yeah.
Like I said, welcome to the show, Dale. We're going to jump on and write some questions. You're a very interesting guy. You know, they're very polarizing in everything that happens for you as well as in the rodeo industry. And, you know, we've seen social media used in many unique ways by rodeo fans, contestants, sponsors, and many others in the rodeo industry, including yourself. Why has social media been such a lightning rod of a tool in the Western rodeo lifestyle? And is it helping the industry grow?
Absolutely it is. And, you know, you said it, I'm interesting. I agree. I am the greatest bull rider ever to walk the earth. I'm also the greatest Snapchatter ever to walk the earth. And for them to be interested, we have to be interesting. And I live such an interesting life that people want to see it. And it has given me an opportunity to promote what I'm doing. You know, guys, I always say laughter is the best medicine, unless, of course, you're treating diarrhea. But so
don't go
every
there.
Day. Every day I try to I try to make people laugh. I try to just, you know, keep it lighthearted, have a good time. I never know what I'm going to get into. Like I told you guys, I'm so spontaneous. Last time I did something spur of the moment, they marked me 90. And when I'm not rodeoing, I'm ranching. When I'm not bullback, I'm horseback. And I like to just capture that each day and show the world on everything, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. There's a new one, TikTok. Yep. And, you know, when you talk about the Western industry, be it just whether it's rodeo or not, whether you're just horseback or whether you're at a rodeo behind the chutes, like, this is a really, really interesting life that rodeo cowboys get to live. And when we turn on the camera, people want to see it because not your everyday American gets to experience what we experience.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's no doubt about it. So here's the question, though. Is it helping the industry grow? Is it creating more exposure in a healthy manner?
Absolutely it is. I get a crazy number. Daily, I get messages from kids, sometimes adults. Like, I've probably gotten 5 this morning because I go through all my direct messages on Instagram. I've probably gotten 5 messages today. Hey, how do I get started bull riding? How do I get started ranching? Do you know anybody that can help me team rope? Because they're looking to me as kind of a rodeo person, rodeo expert, as they should. And so it's just like they're watching it. They're interested. Now they want to do it. So in my mind, okay, you got a lot of people that are wanting to do it. That means there's probably even a whole lot more people that are just enjoying watching it, you know?
No, I totally agree.
So,
yeah, so no. Dale, this brings me to the next question. I know it's not printed, but I want to ask you. So, you know, you've been doing this, your social media gig for 5 years. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It'll be 6 this summer.
Okay, perfect. So 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago, how many rodeos did you average in, you know, attending every year? How many did you go to every year?
2009 and 10, that season was a really busy season. I went to, in 10 months, up until the point I broke my collarbone that year, I was at a rodeo every single weekend, sometimes multiple rodeos per weekend. So
why were you there? Just tell everybody, why did Dale Brisby attend that many rodeos in 2009 or 2010?
Well, I do it all, you know. Especially at that time, I was riding bears, Bronx bulls. I was fighting bulls, so I was helping somebody put something on. I was picking up. I was fighting bulls. I was spurring bulls. I mean, I've been 90 in Main Spain, Spokane, Fort Wayne, and Alabama. Spurred off so much bull hair, they needed Rogaine. Okay, so but I love everything about the rodeo industry. When they plow that dirt up, you know, 2 hours before the perf at 5:30, like, there's no better smell than fresh arena dirt being turned over. And so that's where I feel at home. And so if I'm running my hand in a bull rope or stealing some cotton candy from the guy walking around in the stands, like, whatever I got to do.
After you wash your hands, right?
Yes.
yeah, not at the same time.
You know, okay, so man, thank you for that, Dale. That's great. You know, somewhere. So besides the NFR, which is obviously a lot of people's favorite, what's another favorite rodeo of yours, and why? What makes it so special to you, your team, and just in general?
Sykeston, Missouri, the Sykeston JC Boot Heel Rodeo. It's in August. It's blazing hot. So hot that I actually passed out once, just a little too, that's a whole nother story. It did not involve alcohol.
I love when you are teasing our fans that way.
Yeah.
Because this story will come out in future episodes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I'm okay with telling it. It's just, it's got some inappropriate parts to it.
That's okay. We can clean it up.
But, I passed out in the bathroom of another bathroom story. Crap.
Oh, no.
The bathroom of,
it's the topic of the
Buffalo
morning.
Wild Wings. Well, but regardless, that's not why it's my favorite rodeo. The reason Sykeston is my favorite rodeo, it's a 4-day weekend, and they bring in some music acts in the evening. They have Dale Brisby there. That's one thing they're doing right for sure. Yeah. But they're so amped up about what's in it for the audience. And, you know, they want to bring the fresh music. They want to have good stock. They want to make sure that they're getting drawn in the best contestants. They want, you know, me to help with social media. They get Rudy Burns, who's just a legend rodeo clown. And the JCs, it's the junior committee and junior chamber of commerce. They're all under 40 years old. Once you turn 40, like, you're pretty much kicked off the committee.
Oh, wow.
And so they're very progressive in their thinking. And over 40-year-olds can be progressive too.
Oh, but yeah, we can.
Don't get offended. Okay. No. So
that was a long time ago.
But the point is I just love their tenacity. I love their hunger for growing the sport. And it shows, you know, 12,000 people will show up. And if you're familiar with Sykeston, Missouri area, like, there shouldn't be that many people at that rodeo, but they make it a big deal.
What do they average in attendance?
That last night they had, like, I think 11,000 plus people on
Perfect.
Saturday night.
That's awesome.
Perfect.
And so, I don't know technically the average.
Who's the announcer?
Boyd
this
announces
one?
That.
Boyd does.
Boyd,
yeah,
Paul
yeah,
Heyman.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
So you got to. I mean, that'll hurt it a little bit.
I've heard of that guy.
Well, if they didn't have Boyd there, you know.
He's
a
marketing
announcer.
Machine anyway. You don't need any more help.
Well, I do know this. Right. That was part of our Road to the NFR last year that we worked with you for the blogs. The backdrop was fantastic. Absolutely beautiful.
Yes, and that's why. Just because that to me is what the future of rodeo looks like.
Is
because the backbone of the sport is neck and neck between the fans and the committees.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I think, you know what I mean? Like, the committees are just like, it takes those volunteers to jump in there and put in 12-hour days 3 months before the rodeo ever happens, you know? Mm-hmm. So that rodeo's got it all.
Oh, that's great. So now we're going to touch on a couple questions here with NFR. So, you know, obviously Las Vegas events, we market the NFR experience. Rodeo is at the core of that.
We call it NFRX.
Yes, NFRX. So besides the rodeo, what's your other favorite part when you come down here to Vegas and the experience side of the around the rodeo? What's probably one of your favorite experiences that you get to partake in?
So outside of what happens at the Thomas and Mack, right, you have all these spin-off events. You have Cowboy Christmas. You have the other gift shows. You have the barrel racing event. You have the team roping event. I mean, there is so much going on. You have Miss Rodeo America. So tell us, Dale, what excites you the most?
I'll give you my top three.
Okay.
Number one is easy. So Winnebago is a town of 500. We've got a liquor store, two liquor stores, and one of them's got some gas station food. So whenever I think about going to Vegas, my first thing is, oh my gosh, I get to eat good. Like, I just, it makes my head spin thinking of all the different restaurants that I want to attend. I'm so glad the NFR is 10 days because that means I get to eat somewhere different every day.
Now, are you a three-meal guy
a day?
Nah, not at the NFR. I just don't have time.
Right.
You know, but
right.
Usually I can get one in.
Yeah.
Usually I can get one good one in. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of us come out a couple days before, and that's when you really get to, like, okay, well, I'm going to go lunch here. I'm going to go to dinner here.
Yep,
and somebody's like, well, we need to have a meeting. All right, let's do it at a restaurant, and you're paying, you know.
Nice. What, number two. What's number two?
Number two would be Cowboy Christmas. You get to see everybody. Like, obviously, you don't get to get your hands on the contestants during the NFR because they're focusing on their craft, so You get to shop, walk around, see your friends, and see the contestants at Cowboy Christmas. So that would be number two, just hanging out there. And then number three, I would say South Point.
Oh yeah, oh man, that's a party.
I don't stay there during the NFR a lot. I couldn't
get a room there. I have friends, and I still can't get a room there.
You know the owner.
Yeah,
but yeah, just hanging out there and being there, it just. this last February, I took my grandmother to Vegas.
Nice.
And she loves the slot machines. And so we went and parked it at South Point for 4 days.
There you go.
Beautiful.
So
Mr. Gone definitely knows how to treat his customers right.
That's a great time over there.
Yeah, he does.
So that was awesome. Thank you for that. So lastly, because I know you've been coming to the NFR for quite some time, and I'm sure you got many favorite stories like many other people do. Give us one, just one good little story that you can share with the fans that I don't know.
I'm hoping this does not involve a restroom.
Totally.
So I had this buddy, and we called him Hambone, and he's not the same Hambone that runs sound.
Not our Hambone.
A different buddy. I don't think y'all know this Hambone, but we were supposed to film one day, and we were going to film and then go to Cowboy Christmas. He was supposed to be in my room at the MGM is where I was staying at the time. And he was supposed to be there at like 9 a.m. And just all night, like I saw him the night before, and he was like, oh yeah, I'll be there, buddy. But he kind of disappeared into the crowd, you know? And I just knew, I was waiting in my room like, he ain't showing up. So anyways, I called down to security, and they were like, yeah, he was having a good time, but we asked him to leave, you know, and he wasn't like being inappropriate, but just like had a few too many drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So then like they said, we think he went to so-and-so. I followed this trail of breadcrumbs down the strip to like four different casinos. And I finally find him at, I think the Venetian.
Oh my!
And like I stopped everywhere.
That's a little bit of a walk.
Whichever one's further, the Harrah's maybe. You know, I stopped at the Venetian. He had been at the Venetian, and then Harrah. I think Harrah's is on the other side.
Yep.
And they were like, and then there he was, and he was like, oh my gosh, is it 9 o'clock? I was like, yeah, it's 12, and we've been worried sick. Anyway, like it wasn't necessarily fun for me. But just imagining the shenanigans that he got through and, you know, just having a blast. And he's harmless as a church mouse, you know. But to me, like, just to walk it, like, trying to find him. And then going, like, I stopped in at, I can't remember what's next to the MGM. But this security guy was like,
M&M World.
We saw Hambone. You know? And he didn't get kicked out of that one. But this, I walked up and I was like, hey, did you see kind of long hair? And the security guard was like, he like finished his name for me. I was like, he's like, Hambone. Oh yeah, we saw him.
That's very possible. Anyway, that story applies all over the place for fans, everyone that comes to Vegas.
Usually on the first night, you don't see him after that, yes. Right?
It encapsulated just kind of that mid-20s kind of guy that just goes there and doesn't sleep for 3 days and just all about like having a good time. And I don't know, you know, I'm there for 14 days. So sure. you gotta go to bed at some point if you're going to be there for 14 days.
No, that's an application right there. That
we tell our closest friends, please pace yourself.
Yeah. It's a marathon.
It was a lot like the movie, The Hangover is what it was like.
Beautiful.
With less. Yeah, more appropriate version of The Hangover is there what you. It was.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, no Tigers or Mike Tyson. Or
well, we love our NFR stories, don't we, Envy?
Yeah, absolutely. That's you know, thank you for sharing that, Dale. And you know, want to say thank you for joining us on the show. This is and this has been very enlightening.
More to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we'll be finding out about more. And then you know, obviously, we'll be looking forward to your story from Sexton, Missouri, come August.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank Dale, you. Yeah.
Nice.
Dale, yeah.
All right, well, have a great day, Dale.
So,
thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Y'all
happy trails. You got it, boss.
Just the last few words of advice.
Yes,
always
sir.
Give 100% unless you're donating blood. Pow-powing on to the next one.
All right. It's quite an adventure sitting with Dale. That
he is an interesting cat.
Yeah, he is. A lot more than I think more than we realize, just all of us. I think there's more of that. But his touch on the food, Vegas, couldn't agree with him more. In fact, I like to think that I lose a little weight during those 10 days, but I'm sure I gain because of the way we eat and move and groove. Follow Dale Brisby along with our team of NFR bloggers at NFRExperience.com.
Hi, I'm 8-time world champion bull rider Donnie Gay, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi there, I'm Frank Thompson from Cheyenne Frontier Days, and you are listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Nellie Miller, world champion barrel racer, and this is NFR Extra.
Here is Maria talking to four-time NFR qualifier Kyle Irwin and his traveling buddy, three-time NFR qualifier and 2017 world champ Tyler Pearson, recorded live at Cowboy Christmas, December 11th, 2018.
Envy, did you know that Kyle got his start in the rodeo world through a family friend? None other than three-time world champion steer wrestler, Mr. Steve Duhon.
Well, I didn't, but I do now.
Hi, I'm Maria Prekicis, and welcome to NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. I'm very excited to have two great steer wrestlers with me today, Tyler Pearson and Kyle Irwin. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I
started off good with gentlemen.
Yeah, right.
You did good.
I'm a little
Southern,
scared.
Southern gentlemen,
there you go. So, Tyler, reigning world champion 2017, what does it feel like to win your first gold buckle?
Oh, you know, it was amazing to, you know, that's a lifelong dream, and to have that, to achieve that goal, you know, it's been a absolutely blessed.
Well, it was only your third time at the NFR. What is it like to accomplish something that quickly?
That was my second time.
That was your second. Sorry, yeah. This is your third time.
Yeah. Well, the second time went great. The third time was kind of having a little hell, but.
But what is that like to, you know, some people come to the NFR 10, 12 years and never accomplish a world championship buckle.
Yeah, it was a blessing. Like the stars aligned for me, you know, it was great. It was one of them storybook years.
And Kyle, this is your fourth year here in 2018. What's it like in the Thomas and Mack? 18,000 people yelling and screaming for you.
You know, I was asked that question the other night, and I feel like I've grown up a little bit, I guess, and gotten used to the atmosphere and all, but that yellow building still, every time, the energy that's in that building and the people on top of you yelling, you know, plus we're trying to do good, we're competing against each other, but we want each other to do good. It's a feeling like no other.
Well, continue on with that. You want each other to do well, but you still want to win. How does that work?
Tyler?
Oh, I thought that was you.
No, you go ahead.
Well, we feed off each other. You know, we want each other to do good. But if he goes out there and he's 3-5, you know, I want to go out there and be 3-4. And, you know, he wants me to do as good. So we just iron sharpens iron.
Well, you both own the AQHA Horse of the Year scooter. How important is the horse, Tyler?
He's everything. I would not be here without him. I would not have the success without him. He's my ticket. That's how I got to where I am, and he's having a lot of impact on these other guys too.
And traveling down the road with a horse is not easy. What makes Scooter so special and easier to travel with?
You know, I think it may just be his disposition and the way the horse is all around. You know, I look at him as like one of the guys, and I think these other guys riding will tell you too. We'll get him off the trailer, you know, he looks like us getting out of the truck. He stretches, you know, he's picking around with Metallica, the Hazen horse, you know. But when it's time, you know, to business, you can see him just kind of get serious almost, you know, and it gives us a, you know, the feeling to know that we can be confident in what we do. Our horses are going to do their jobs. We just have to do ours. So, like Tyler says, amazing athlete. It's great to have him.
Looks like you too, but he's good looking.
Yeah, I said acts like us. Okay, one of the guys.
She's got jokes.
Oh, but Tyler, talk to me about the confidence in the vote of all of your peers saying that he is the horse of the year, and they don't even ride him, some of them.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, I love that about, you know, how everybody, even our peers, you know, think of my horse or our horse like we do. You know, that means the world to me, and I've always wanted to have a horse like this, and I'm going to cherish him and take care of him, and hopefully he stays healthy and sound for
the rest of our career.
Yeah, right.
Kyle, how'd you get Scooter?
You know, it was kind of one of those friend of a friend. A guy happened to turn him down, and Jason Reese, the man who owned him, was wanting to sell him, you know, and a mutual friend reached out to Tyler and I, and I remember Tyler called me. It was on a January right after I had just had kind of a slow NFR, and we were fixing to get things kicked off and go for the season. And he said, hey, you know, I've got a proposition for you, and this is the opportunity we got. But nobody really knows the horse. You know, he's kind of stayed in North Dakota, and this is just kind of what we're hearing he is. And Tyler Wagespack went to a Champions Challenge in Rapid City, South Dakota, won first, like he's bad to do, on Scooter. And he called. He's like, yeah, man, he felt pretty good. I did all right. It's y'all's call. And then I remember it was just phone call back and forth, me and Tyler. I was in Florida. He was in Louisiana at the time. And we pulled the trigger. You know, I think we were at Fort Worth at the Slack when we finally agreed to do it, bought him sight unseen, and the rest is history.
Now, does anyone else ride scooter besides you two?
Yep, Tyler Wagensbeck and Ty Erickson.
So explain to everyone, if they don't know, how that works when other people ride your horse.
Well, so since they're riding, we get a 12.5% for scooter, and then like a Hazen, I get 12.5% for that. And that's Metallica. That's our Hazen horse, Metallica. So it's 25% is what it, you know, it's up to.
For the team.
Well, yeah. In hazing, you guys all want to win the camaraderie. We've talked about that. But you guys, a lot of you haze for each other. What's that like, Kyle?
You know, I think it keeps everything just like we practice. You know, they always say practice like you play. And at home, you know, we haze for each other. All year we haze for each other. And they talk about bringing a guy out here to haze so y'all don't have to. Well, I think Tyler, of all people, because he hazes for so many people and hazes so good, will tell you, you know, that keeps his bulldogging grounded, you know, knowing that whenever he's done, no matter how he did, he's still got a chance to make money hazing for Tyler, Ty, you know, or me, or whoever else he may pick up. So it keeps us in the same mentality that we have all year long, and that's what gets us here. So you don't want to change nothing when you get here.
So, Kyle, you college rodeoed for 4 years. How does the college rodeo prepare you for this big stage in Vegas?
That is a great question. That's one I've always wanted to answer. It is a huge stepping stone, I feel like.
Yeah, it is.
I'm serious. To a young person's career. There are some guys that don't, and those people are blessed with talent, the mentality to take it. But I think college rodeo does prepare you for the next level of winning and rodeoing. And I think it made a huge impact on my career. I really do.
I love it. So, Tyler, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give that joke about the horse and you guys. They do say, you know, the animals' horses start to look like you. You started rodeoing at a young age, 7 or 8, but you didn't like steer wrestling at first.
No, I wasn't very athletic. I had long legs. I would trip walking to the arena, you know, so I had a little hell. But
he's a baseball-playing, roping son of a gun, too.
No, but I had a little trouble with it at first, you know. I've always had to work at it. It never really came easy to me. I've had to stay in the practice pen, and it just made it old, you know. And then once I did have the success, you know, or have a little success, it kind of, just that little bit, you know, I kind of enjoyed it. Then I got more and more, and it just made it where it was fun.
Well, as Kyle said, you played baseball in high school. What elements of that in a team sport take you to rodeo? You guys are all friends, but it's still an individual sport.
Yeah, there's really no comparison, like baseball and stuff. Like, just because, I mean, there's the camaraderie in our event, and I can't say about every other event as far as rodeo, but in steer wrestling, like, we are for each other, you know. Like, we really want each other to do good. We're patting each other on the back. You know, just like I said earlier, whenever, if I'm out there 3.5, I want him to go be 3.4, you know, and we don't ever have that, you know, in another sport, and it's really good to be a part of.
Well, you guys are friends. You go down the road together. It's like a marriage, I always say. It's not just team ropers that have to do it. It's all you traveling
we
partners.
We have good days and bad days.
He's awful moody.
You're sleeping on the couch. Have been all year.
Good grief. But how, I mean, you guys obviously pick each other up, but how do you deal with the bad days when someone doesn't do well? And, you know, I'm not saying either of you get in a bad mood, but once in a while.
Well, you know, you just kind of, everybody's got to have their space, you know, like, whenever it's rough, you know, we know it's rough. You know, if I know he's in a bad mood, I just won't be around him, you know, and let him do his thing, and he'll be better before long. He'll be fine.
Are there a lot of headsets in the truck while you're driving?
There's a lot of Netflix watch. Yeah. A lot of Netflix. Wag never drives.
No, he doesn't do it.
We don't know where Ty is.
Ever.
And, so most of the time Tyler's sleeping and I'm driving. We separate.
Oh, God. We
find the room.
I love it. You guys are so darn funny.
But I think that's the best part of it. We have a good time. And you got to. You have to. Because if you're not having fun, then you're at each other's throat, you know, because.
If you don't enjoy the people you're with on rodeo or on the road, you will be miserable. Because you're with, like, I'm with this guy more than my wife, you know. And if I don't enjoy being around it, I'm not going to have fun. And if I'm not having fun, I'm going home.
So. Well, if you're not having fun and enjoying what you do, you're not going to be good at it either, yeah. No matter how much you practice.
Sure, right.
So, NFR Las Vegas, what's it like to be here for these 10 days?
Oh man, it is a lot. It's good. It's amazing. It's what you fight for all year, you know, and to get here and, you know, to go with them yellow shoots every day. Every time I get dressed and get ready for the rodeo, I get chills, you know. It's an amazing feeling, and it is why we work all year. This is right here.
And it's not just about the competition, but the way you're treated here.
For sure, for sure. Las Vegas Events does a great job, you know, with the hospitality throughout the week, taking care of us, you know, and our families. Like, Tyler's got his family out here, I have mine, you know, and the it really is a, you know, pretty hospitable town, and you know, so we enjoy it. And the money that Las Vegas can bring to that arena is unlike no other, you know, and like Tyler said, that is what we worked for to get to, you know, is that's the end goal, is making a living, and you can make a dang good one these 10 days.
Oh, a darn good one. Rodeo Heroes, Tyler, you.
I got a couple. Dean Gorsuch, Luke Branquino, a lot of them guys, not Tyler Waxback. you know, they're just them greats like that that we kind of mimic and, you know, try to copy, you know, try to get some of their work, you know, and try to iterate some of our craft, you know, to theirs. It's cool, you know, to watch them forever and then them kind of talk to us and watch us now is pretty cool.
And you, Kyle?
Mine would be, you know, I was always a Steve Duhon fan, still am. I saw him the other day. It was great seeing. And believe it or not, when I was younger, I wanted to be a cab roper more than I wanted to be a steer wrestler. So I'm a big Joe Beaver fan. I always liked Joe. He's a winner, you know, and he's good to be around even today, you know. So those two, I think, really stick out in my mind. And always the legend, Roy Duvall. You know, you just heard about him a little kid. Didn't really get to see a whole lot of films of Roy Duvall until I became real good friends with his nephew, Riley Duvall. So, you know, great family, and always, always look up to the Duvall family, Mr. Roy.
So you wanted to be a tie-down roper. When did the switch get made? Then you're like, I'm steer wrestling.
Well, yeah, whenever.
Tyler, you couldn't catch.
When my talents got in my way, and, you know, horsepower always played a role, and I have a cousin in South Alabama, Bo Campbell, always kept bulldog and horses for me to ride and made me steer wrestle whether I wanted to or not, you know, and eventually I just got to where I won more in the steer wrestling and I liked it better, and the cab roping faded away, especially when I got to college. I moved to Oklahoma. They're a little sharper in the cab roping than I was from Alabama. So I really, I really quit. My coach, I think, advised me. He was like, you're an outstanding steer wrestler. Don't worry about rope.
Don't worry about the other things. What do you guys do to keep in shape for this sport? Because you're going, how fast are you going when you jump off that horse onto the steer?
I don't know. It feels like last couple nights it's felt like we're going 100 miles an hour, but I don't know how fast. Probably around 30. Like Cheyenne, you can get to going real fast. But I don't know. Staying in shape is tough, you know, on the road. Trying to stay active. We practice a lot, you know, whenever we're practicing in the winter and stuff. Practicing keeps me, you know, as in shape as I'm going to get. And on the road is, that's the hard part, you know, is trying to stay active and doing something. But we always want to try to, you know, do something. Throw the football,
we've got a bike. We've got a bike. Yeah, we got a bike.
We just don't ride.
One bike.
One bike.
The four of you.
Yeah.
Ty can't fit it. It's too small for Ty. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's, the wheels are rusted. It's a great bike.
Well, Kyle, the little bit of time you might have off on the road, what do you guys enjoy doing?
Golf. We are phenomenal golfers in our own mind.
I'm amazing.
We see a lot of movies. Like, we'll go watch movies, you know. A lot of golf. We eat often. We do. We eat a lot. And what else do we do? Like, I'm trying to think. Normally, like, if we go somewhere and we lay over for a while, like in the Northwest, we'll stay at our friend's house, Travis Carnine, you know, and he's always cooking, you know, or grilling out or doing something, a barbecue, some call it.
You know, so what?
Some would.
But we always find something to do. But, like, if we got enough time, golf is always first on priority. We've played some pretty cool courses.
Yeah.
You know, traveling around.
Pendleton. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, I hear y'all have nicknames for each other. Now they're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
We call Wag Wag.
I got it from a Reliable. Maybe. Who's the Alabama Slamma?
Oh, that's me, because I'm from Alabama.
Okay,
everybody knows that.
Hello.
Yes, it is, right. This is TP.
We don't call it, like, in the rig. Like, that's just what, like, the NFR calls him, the Alabama. Like, I don't say, hey, Alabama Slammer, what do you mean?
Yeah, he does. It's
you
your
did
turn.
A really good job. Yeah,
it's your turn to get fuel.
Oh, the slammer's
well,
down.
Well, it's, you know, a PR thing, so people know who you are and
no,
where
no,
from.
Yeah, that's right. Wags, wag.
We got to have a little bit because
every now and then there's an
Tyler
adjective Wagner's in front of
back,
it.
Tyler Pearson, Tyler Erickson, and Kyle.
And Kyle.
Yeah, so.
There's a lot of ties in there.
Yeah, we
ties
call
tiny.
Yeah, tiny, and they call me T sometimes.
They call you Teeth?
T.
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 Letter T.
Just like T. I'm like, Teeth? Well, you do have nice teeth,
Bob.
Over my head.
A lot of people think we're calling timeout, but no, where's Teeth?
Well, you guys enjoy what you do, you can tell, and you're great friends. And so much fun having you here. Thanks for the laughs.
Thank you.
I love it. Tyler Pearson, world champion, and next to him, Kyle Irwin, right here on NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Hi, I'm world champion Jet Johnson, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm two-time world champion Tim O'Connell, and this is NFR Extra.
Envy, that's it for this episode of the NFR Extra. And before we go, we want to thank our guest, Mr. Wayne Brooks, for his insight about the Rodeo Austin and the current competition for the road to the Wrangler NFR. We also want to say thanks to Mr. Dale Brisby for being what he calls Dale Brisby.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. And once again, we thank Maria Pregages and her guests, Bulldoggers, Kyle Irwin, Tyler Pearson, Ty Erickson, and Tyler Wegespeck. You know, that's a lot of ties. That's a all tie party there. Besides, you know, Mr. Kyle Irwin.
But that is a tight knot.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, join us in 2 weeks when Maria gets close to 8-time world champion Mr. Larry Mahan and hear how rodeo life is for Mr. Corey Petska and Sherry Servey.
Those are some good ones too. Larry Mahan, that's a pretty entertaining guy. And don't forget, Bo's Bull, the rodeo news of the week, and more on the NFR Extra podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the rovers and the racers and the bulls and the browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight wranglers and the cowboy hats. And it don't get